you're not willing to do the work and the research, or you're not interested, or you don't think that you've got the expertise to do the research to invest in a portfolio of individual companies yourself, then, you know, looking at an expert or looking to an expert like the Montgomery Funds, and there are others, that makes a lot of sense.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. I'm a self-directed investor. There's many of us out there, and it's always an absolute privilege to speak to an experienced analyst who has had a successful career, someone that has a team behind him doing research on the Australian market and also the markets around the world. I'm very excited to have Roger Montgomery on the show today. Roger is the founder, chairman, and chief investment officer of Montgomery Investment Management. He is a renowned value investor with more than 25 years' experience. Following a successful career as an analyst and public company chairman, Roger published his first edition of his stock market guide, Valuable, in 2010, becoming an Australian bestseller in just 16 weeks. He is an awarded presenter on the subject of investing and appears regularly on the ABC The Business program, as well as Sky Business, 2GB, and ABC Radio. Roger regularly writes for major financial publications and newspapers, and he has a much followed blog on his website. Today, my guest is Roger Montgomery. How are you, Roger?
I'm very well, Anne. Nice to be with you.
It's great to have you on the show. I'm a self-directed investor, and I suppose there's quite a few of us out there. I know the government isn't going to be providing pensions for everyone when we retire, and I believe more and more people are going down that track of trying to have some investments for their own retirement to look after themselves. But we don't always know everything, do we? And we should be turning to professionals like you for some direction.
And I think that's generally right. There are some advantages to doing it yourself. One of them, of course, is it keeps your mind active and engaged, and I think that's important. And you know, obviously, you know, the brain is a muscle, and if we don't use it, we lose it. So it's, I think there's a sort of an intellectual stimulation aspect to investing that a lot of people are interested in, and I think it actually has some health benefits, provided you don't lose a ton of money, which of course could give you the reverse. So that said, it is also true that a lot of people believe that investing is easy, and you know they don't need to do a lot of training or a lot of homework, and they'll be right. You know, but any endeavor to be done well requires a lot of preparation and then a lot of practice, and investing is no different. So I think it's wise to balance those two things, to think about how much you'd like to do yourself with the, I think, what is fundamentally right, and that is leaving some of it to the experts. Of course, there's a bit of work in choosing the experts as well. So you want to make sure that you're choosing the right experts, and there's plenty of research around that can tell you who's going well and who's not going well in terms of not just performance, but in terms of risk management, in terms of people turnover, you know, accolades and awards rather from rating agencies and so forth. So in short, I think you're right. I think it is complicated, and so having some money with experts makes sense. But there is also the intellectual stimulation. If you're not getting that anywhere else, then maybe a little bit of money on the side managed yourself makes sense too.
Thank you. You're very, very kind there. But I suppose in the end, we will all get older and we may not be able to be active, I suppose, be active investors Indeed. Ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why, you know, I think it's a mark of maturity when we meet with an investor who has for a long time managed it themselves, and then they decide, well, I've either not done as well as I'd hoped, or I really want to spend time with the grandkids now, or traveling, and I don't want to, you know, be chained to a computer screen. So I'm going to leave it to someone else. It is genuinely, and I mean this sincerely, a mark of maturity when someone finally makes that decision to leave it to the experts.
Thank you. What considerations should investors make, acknowledging that low returns are likely and with the market's momentum that it has at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one because on the one hand, you've got really strong economic growth and low interest rates and low inflation. Now, the combination of those things, when people believe interest rates are going to stay low, when they believe that inflation is not going to come back, and when the evidence shows that economic growth is strong, which is exactly what we've got right now in America and here in Australia and also in Europe, that those conditions are often described as Goldilocks conditions. You know, they're very, very good for markets and all assets. And unsurprisingly, we've seen the stock market do really well. We've seen all assets do really well. Even believe it or not, art and collectible cars and stamps and coins, all of those asset classes have smashed world records just in the last 12 months. That is a function of, or the output from, or an outcome from those Goldilocks conditions that I just described. But the higher the price you pay for something, the lower your return is going to be. It's as simple as that. So if you buy something cheap, you're going to get, provided it's good quality, you're going to get a very high return. If you buy the same thing at a very high price, you're going to get a very low future return. And right now, prices are very high. In fact, I just mentioned that they're smashing records all around the world. So the implied return or the future return from most assets is now low. And so the question is, do I invest today knowing that I'm going to get a low return? I'm locking in potentially for a very long time a low return and potentially also miss out on some short-term gains. So the market could, over the next 6 or 12 months, continue heading higher. Am I willing to take the risk of locking in a low return but miss out on those near-term gains that could accrue because the momentum, as you said in your question, is very good? Or am I better off to stand aside, or at least partly stand aside, have some money in cash rather than in shares or property or whatever other asset class you're interested in? Am I better off having some money in cash, know that I'm going to miss out on those early gains, but also know that if the market does correct in the next 12 or 24 months, that I've got the my cash represents an option over lower prices, and you know, I'll be able to deploy that money when assets are cheaper. The latter scenario is my preferred scenario, but I'm an extremely conservative investor. I don't want to lose money. I'd rather miss out on some gains than lose 20, 30 or 40%. And so at the moment in our funds, whether it's our domestic funds like the Montgomery Fund or the Montgomery Private Fund, or our global funds, the Montgomery Global Fund, all of them are building up their cash levels at the moment. The two funds have cash levels of about 24%, and one of them has cash levels of about 35%. So those cash levels are slowly creeping up as we discover that there's less and less opportunity to buy things with a really good return.
I see. There are more and more Australians have set up their own self-managed superannuation funds, and to overseas listeners, that is our tax structure for retirement savings. Now, there's more and more having them. How
in the US, in the US, it's they call it the 401k.
Yes, and yep. We apparently have been low risk tolerant in those structures. Yes. But are we missing out? Are we changing? Are we looking for more growth?
Yes, I think that will turn out to be a trap that many investors will have to confront the consequences of. So as central banks around the world have lowered interest rates to try and stimulate the economy, and failing that, then buying bonds all around the world through what's called quantitative easing, they've flattened the yield curve. So short-term interest rates and long-term interest rates have been extremely low. And that's been the case for a long time. And in fact, it's been the case for so long that investors have said, well, you know, I've had enough of earning virtually nothing in my cash in the bank. I've had enough of earning low returns in cash in sort of longer term deposits. And so I'm going to move out of cash and start buying some other assets like stocks, property, art, collectible cars, as I mentioned earlier, wine, you know, anything that's going up, even Bitcoin. People have moved further up the risk spectrum, and perhaps Bitcoin and Litecoin and Ethereum, those cryptocurrencies represent the absolute pinnacle of the risk curve, and people have progressively moved more money out of cash and into those higher risk things, pursuing more growth. But the problem is, and that was always the intention of the central banks, because they thought that if assets go up, people will feel wealthier and then they'll spend money and we'll get out of our economic recession. And the growth that we're experiencing now is evidence that that has had some effect. But you can't keep doing that. You have to be dynamic, and you have to be able to appreciate that when shares are expensive as they are now, and while let me just say that's one argument that shares are expensive. Some people think shares are cheap, but I believe that shares appear to be expensive. We can't find enough high-quality businesses at a cheap price to be able to invest all our capital. So when shares are expensive, if you're buying today, you are taking on more risk for a lower return. And I think investors are forgetting that.
Right. So what else can investors do? Do we look to have overseas shares in our portfolios? And like you said, you have a Montgomery Global Fund. Is that a way to grow?
Yes, it is. Irrespective of where you invest, it makes sense always to invest in quality. And it always, and I'll describe what quality is in a second. And it also makes sense to buy when prices are attractive. So there are companies that will meet that criteria in Australia, and there are companies that will meet that criteria in the United States and in Europe. And we think there are some absolutely brilliant companies overseas, particularly in the United States and Europe, because the population is much larger, which means these companies can grow for a lot longer. So if you think about a company listed in France called Essilor, many people might not have heard of that company. It's a company that has a 40% global market share in the production and supply and distribution of corrective eyewear, so spectacle lenses. They invented multifocal lenses. They invented those lenses that turn dark when in the presence of UV light. And they spend more on research and development than all of their competitors combined. Now, that company currently serves a global market of about 1.2 billion people, because that's how many people have access to corrective eyewear. But the market for corrective eyewear is much larger. In fact, there's probably 4 billion people that need corrective eyewear. In fact, if you're over the age of 40, there's a 70% chance that you'll need corrective eyewear. And if you're over the age of 70, there's a 90% chance you'll need corrective eyewear. And so that population of 4 million with an aging population is growing all the time. And so they've got a very, very long runway. much longer than a small retail company in Australia that's serving a population of 24 million people. So that's why investors in Australia, and speaking to investors in Australia now, that's why they should be thinking about investing overseas, because there are themes and companies that you can't access in Australia. And those investors listening from overseas, so listening from the United States or Europe, well, the same applies. You know, there are companies beyond your domestic market that have very great potential for growth. So if you're thinking from the United States, you know, it might surprise people that Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's second in charge of Berkshire Hathaway, suggested that if he was starting out today, he'd be looking at China. In fact, we have some investments in Chinese companies because we believe that they're serving a much bigger market than even American companies.
Well, that's really interesting. And it's only talking to experts like you that we can have our eyes opened, I suppose.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, we have just on that subject, we run a blog. Would it be all right to mention the blog?
Oh, yeah, sure. How do people find out more about you, or how do they follow you?
Well, even if they're not following us, they could certainly be following some international investment themes and some ideas about the economy and interest rates and the US Federal Reserve and the impact that has on investment portfolios. So it's rogermontgomery.com, and that's R-O-G-E-R, Montgomery.com. And we've got already about 100,000 people that view that blog each month. And there's a lot of information about international investing and thematic investing and value investing on that blog.
I have read some of your blogs, and they're very well researched and a lot of information in there.
Thank you. We have 18 people who are all investment professionals and are working tirelessly to ensure that our investors are educated and understand what it is that we're doing in our funds.
All right. And to be on the conservative side, I suppose, I believe we should...
Like me?
I haven't been in the past, but it looks like I do always put a portion of my portfolio to fixed income products. So I am trying to be slightly conservative.
As long as you hold those fixed income products, so for example, bonds, if you hold them to maturity, then you're going to get your yield. And most of the time, in the absence of a credit event, you'll get your capital back. But just remember that if interest rates do rise and you're holding a fixed interest product with a term of, let's say, 5 or 10 years, if interest rates rise, then the capital value of that product could actually fall in the interim. It won't affect your income, but just remember, if you decided to sell out in the interim, you could make a capital loss there as well.
Thank you. And before we finish up, would you like to give us your opinion about where cash sits in our portfolios, given the risk of the low returns and high volatility of the share market?
Well, it's now the case that there are some asset classes that are giving you a return not much higher than cash, but with much more risk than cash. So therefore, cash, compared to some asset classes, actually offers a better risk-adjusted return. So the return adjusted for the amount of risk, because obviously cash has relatively low risk. So where there are assets that are giving you a return that's only a little bit better than cash, but a much higher risk, for example, some equities, infrastructure stocks, for example, you know, utility stocks, and in some places, residential property, you know, the nominal return from renting out the property can be only sometimes only a little bit better than cash, but the risk, of course, to your capital is much greater. And so cash gives you a better risk-adjusted return. And when you think about it that way, you start to realize that while cash doesn't give you a good return right now, it could give you the opportunity to buy things that will give you a very good return later.
So you're saying you have your cash reserves waiting for a good buy to come up.
Exactly.
I see.
And you don't want to have too much cash, and you don't want to have cash for too long either, because obviously the returns aren't very good. But when we see circumstances such as we're seeing now, where asset prices are very high and the future implied returns are very low, then it pays to have some cash for the reasons I've just mentioned.
Right. And a good alternative is to invest in some good quality funds.
Yes, exactly. So if you're not willing to do the work and the research, or you're not interested, or you don't think that you've got the expertise to do the research to invest in a portfolio of individual companies yourself, then, you know, looking at an expert or looking to an expert like the Montgomery Funds, and there are others, that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you very much for your time today and sharing your expertise with the Retire Well, Retire Happy listeners.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, Anne. Thank you for having me on the program. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.